Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 system support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, this is only a test. Been putting off getting a COVID-19 test? Me too. I was following the rule that said if you don't have a temperature or common COVID symptoms like a headache, body ache, shortness of breath, cough, loss of taste or smell, then a test isn't mandated. But who's to say I haven't come into contact with someone who has these symptoms, or is an asymptomatic carrier, someone who wears a crooked mask or has a crooked cough and stands just a little too close? I wanted to be extra careful, so I decided it's time to get tested. A week ago, I put on a mask, got in my car, and drove to White Rock Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina. That's where free COVID testing was being offered in partnership with North Carolina Central University. A team of people is organizing and overseeing COVID testing in underserved communities where mostly Black and Latinx people live. Lisa Paulin is on that team. She's a professor in the university's Department of Mass Communication.
And we were able to get $1 million from the CARES Act, and we developed the ACCORD, the Advanced Center for COVID-19 Related Disparities, which has three main goals. One is testing. Testing, testing, testing.
The ACCORD team includes students, staff, and professors from across the university, from biotechnology to social work. So providing tests is one focus. Another is asking folks to take a survey. It has more than 20 questions on how people feel about things like tests and vaccines. Once I rolled up to the site, it was time for me to get started. Welcome to COVID-19 testing. Please complete the attached registration form and write clearly. Please provide your email address and cell phone number on the form. Okay. My race or ethnicity, level of education. How many children younger than 18 live in my house? Zero. Who would you trust to provide you with information about COVID testing or upcoming COVID vaccines? Well, definitely health websites, a health provider. I would trust any of these people. From there, it was time for the actual COVID test. A court team member, BJ Scott, did his best to calm my nerves before the swab. BJ is a recent graduate of Duke University's Physician Assistant Program.
Is this your first time?
Yes!
All right. Just to let you know, this is not the one that hurts, okay?
Okay.
The one that hurts goes in the back of your nose. This one just goes in the front, okay?
The back front of my nose?
Yeah, this just goes in the front, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
No.
Trust me, it's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna hurt, trust me.
Okay. Thank you.
See, it wasn't bad.
And it wasn't that bad. BJ was right. Testing is just one of the first steps in figuring out exactly how this virus is affecting us. Since the beginning of the pandemic, COVID-19 has hit communities of color hard. Black, Latinx, and Indigenous people are disproportionately catching COVID and dying from the virus. The deadly disparities make the work from NCCU, a historically Black university, all the more important.
We definitely have to have a better understanding of everything that's going on.
Dr. Saronda Robinson is chair of the Department of Public Health Education at NCCU and also part of the ACCORD team.
because COVID is impacting us more than just with the infection rate. It's impacting mental health. It's impacting our social relationships. It's impacting all of the various dimensions of wellness. And we have to have a clear understanding of what's going on so that we can properly address these things in people's lives, because we're going to feel the effects of this for quite a while.
In the months since the pandemic started, access to testing has increased by a lot. People have options that are more convenient and can be tested for free. And now it's more important than ever to get a test if you have symptoms or think you've been exposed to COVID. That's because cases are surging nationwide. This week in North Carolina, the state hit new highs with its case count and hospitalizations.
Testing is definitely one of our first indicators, and people should really know if they are COVID positive or negative, so that we can curb the spread of this virus.
Dr. Cardra Burns is the Senior Deputy Director for the State Division of Public Health. I spoke with her back in the summer about the state government expanding testing sites to hundreds of underserved communities. I checked back in with her again this week about testing.
Our focus has been with reaching our historically marginalized populations, and we've been successful with doing that. We've seen since we started this initiative back in July that about 61% of people that we've been testing has been in our historically marginalized populations. And we've tested almost about 82,000 people since July with our initiative.
Should people make it a regular habitual routine to be tested now? Because in a way, we weren't really saying that this summer, but now should we routinely be tested?
It should be based on your exposure and your contacts. But we always want to go back to the prevention messaging. You know, first, that are you wearing your face covering, making sure that you're washing your hands, as well as ensuring that you're at least 6 feet apart from people. That is the most important message first. And then when it's opportunities that you can't follow those prevention messaging, then you should consider getting a test.
Yeah, so as Dr. Burns mentioned, knowing who is COVID positive and where they're located really is key to us being able to blunt the spread of this virus.
That's Ben Money. He's the Deputy Secretary for Health Services at DHHS. He joined my conversation with Dr. Burns.
You know, we've been dealing with COVID for 8 months now. And I think there is a degree of fatigue and frustration, particularly seeing that the cases are rising. But right now, until we have a vaccine, prevention really is our best strategy. And, you know, folks need to consider their encounters. How many people do they encounter every day? How many unique people outside of their household do they come in contact with?
Now, I know we got some big news not too long ago about Pfizer's vaccine trials. It makes me wonder, based on some surveys that I've seen, how hard or easy is it going to get some underserved populations to take part, you know, to actually get the vaccine, you know, like we're getting over one hump, we're getting people tested, but now we have to, you know, get people to actually get the vaccine when it's available.
Yeah, so getting the vaccine is going to be really critical for us to move past this pandemic. We are very concerned about the messaging and making sure that people understand how this vaccine was developed, that it was developed with safety standards in mind, that it was developed with the same protocols that have been used for flu vaccine and other vaccines for decades. And, you know, we know about the historic inequities. We know about how people of color have been used to test the virulence of syphilis, even through the Tuskegee experiment. So we know that history. And so I think there's been an extra degree of scrutiny on this process among, you know, particularly physician organizations representing physicians of color, to assure that when this vaccine is available, that it will be safe.
Trust. Time and time again, that word comes up when talking about communities of color and the medical world. And like Ben Money said, it's because there's a long history of physicians mistreating or ignoring Black folks' health. So how do you confront the skepticism, especially with the vaccine on its way?
It is not that they don't want to take the vaccine. They are hesitant because they don't have all the information about the safety of the vaccine.
Deepak Kumar helps lead North Carolina Central's Accord team, the folks who gave me my COVID test. He's also director of the Biomedical Biotechnology Research Institute at the university. For months, his team has been doing research in 9 counties across the state. Much of that outreach is just talking with people in underserved communities about testing and providing more information on vaccines.
Yeah, almost at the end of the process. And the goal was to do these testing, provide education material, talk to people so that it also has some sort of a ripple effect, if I may, that because a lot of people are doing testing. So if we do that, we talk. So if people are not coming to our testing sites, they will go to some other testing site. So it will promote the whole culture of getting tested.
So what you know so far, and especially in your line of work and taking part in this COVID testing project, when there is a vaccine, do you think underserved communities and, say, people of color should be offered vaccines first?
Well, so National Academy of Sciences has come up with a vaccine dissemination plan with certain steps 1, 1A, 2, and 2B. Those plans. And the first is definitely the emergency workers, the healthcare workers, which perfectly makes sense. And the second category is the high-risk individuals. I think that plan definitely makes perfect sense in terms of whether underserved communities should take the vaccine. I think everybody must evaluate for themselves what this vaccine offers, the advantages it offers. Again, as I have said several times in our own group meetings and other places, that our job, at least my job, is not to tell anybody to take the vaccine or not. My job is to present all the information that I can, that what this vaccine is able to do, what are the features of this vaccine, so individuals can make informed decisions on whether they should take the vaccine or not. It has a lot of advantages, but again, information is the key.
You know, the health disparities that have really plagued this country, definitely my whole life, are not new. But I think if one thing good that's come out of this pandemic, you know, a light has been shined on that particular issue, and hopefully people are taking note. What do you think about that? And that maybe something will be done for the better for people who've been really overlooked when we think of really healthcare in this country.
I do hope so. I hope things change. COVID-19 has not done anything to health disparities other than exposed and re-exposed what was already there. You know, it has really exacerbated what we had with COVID-related disparities and other inequities that have plagued our society. I mean, racism is a health issue. Also, very early on when we got the reports about COVID-related disparities, if you look at the health risk factors that they outlined, like heart disease, diabetes, and you know, renal disease, and pulmonary disorders, all these things. Disparities in all these things have been known for quite some time. Socioeconomic, social determinants, and then COVID comes, and certain individuals are suffering more than others. So what's new? Nothing is new, because these individuals were suffering anyway. So I am hoping, and many like me are hoping, that we have more emphasis to address these disparities so these kind of things never happen again.
You know, I just thought about, I've thought about it earlier, especially this summer, when I think of the racial reckoning that's come about because of all the protests during the summer, especially over the death, the murder, the killing of George Floyd. But in a way, it's like a health racial reckoning, even though we always, we knew that people, especially Black men, were being disproportionately killed by police, but it just took that, the death of, George Floyd to say, enough is enough. And so now I'm wondering if it seems like because of the coronavirus pandemic and COVID-19, if now people will say, enough is enough. Everyone's health is premium, and they should be seen, taken care of, and hopefully be able to trust the people who have taken oaths to care for them.
Hopefully we'll be able to trust, but I think more importantly, the people who are taking care will become more trustworthy. I think that's important. That's more important than being able to trust. I think a lot of times that the onus is only on underserved communities to trust, but it should be on others also to become more trustworthy.
Deepak Kumar is the director of the Julius L. Chambers Biomedical Biotechnology Research Institute at North Carolina Central University. So what happened after my COVID test? Let's head on back to that testing site in Durham. Okay, now I have moved from the nose swabbing, and now I'm about to get my $10 gift. Hi.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine.
We're students at Central. We're helping with the research and everything. We're grad students, and we have some different gifts that we want to give you as a token of appreciation.
All the COVID testing that needs to be done wouldn't get done without health professionals and other frontline workers working overtime and even volunteering their time. After my test, one of the last people I met was a graduate student at NCCU handing out goodie bags, being just where he wanted to be. He said it was a blessing.
So my name is Abraham Johnson. I'm actually 32. I'm the oldest grad student in our research group.
Abraham is in the biological biomedical science department, working on being someone people who look like me can trust with their medical care.
I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. My family, both my parents are from rural Alabama towns, and just kind of growing up and seeing the people that they grew up with and the different ailments, sicknesses they've gone through has made me really want to reach out and be a part of the disparities research. My goal is actually to go to medical school, so I'm in the application process right now, and one of the things that I've grown to really, really care about in this program is a physician that will go out highly populated area to a rural area, an underserved area, and provide service. And that's actually my goal, is to serve the underserved.
I can tell you already, if he becomes Dr. Johnson, his bedside manner will make patients feel at ease. By the way, my first COVID test came back negative. That's it for this episode of Test It. I'm Leonida Inge. Our producers are Charlie Shelton Ormond and Rebecca Martinez. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.